Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And certainly we know that as we age, you know, you're supposed to do estate planning or at least create a will, but there's a lot of confusion about what you actually need to have a good estate plan and how to make sure you're getting the right documents in place for your individual situation. So joining us this morning to break it all down and help guide you and your family, we're so pleased to have with us our guest who joins us quarterly here on KRDO's The Extra, Catherine Hammond, who is founder and president of the Hammond Law Group. Good morning, Catherine.
It is so good to be back with you, Shannon.
I know. And this is a timely topic, I think, for a lot of people, because even though some people, do their setting of resolutions in the spring, right at New Year's, you know, January 1st is when they set their resolutions. A lot of people that I know set resolutions in the fall as the kids are going back to school, because it's kind of like that time for renewal. So this is a really good time to get things organized, just as you're sending the kids off and making sure that they have all of their, you know, day plans done and their lunches made. This is a good time for you to make sure that you have your family set for what should happen should something happen to you. So let's break it down. We're talking about estate planning and how to know if you're doing it right. And I know, Catherine, you bring a lot of personal experience to this. What do you want to share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, I mean, many of our listeners know already that I started in this world of estate planning and elder law on the other side of the conference room table with a big fat mess when my mother was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease. I was a teenager when she was put on disability, 22 when I had to go to court and have her declared incompetent. And so I used that as inspiration for how to spend my professional life, and I focus my entire professional life on helping people plan for disability and death and navigate them when they come up.
So there's so much information out there. You just mentioned a couple of things, wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and all of that. How do we sort through it all to figure out what's right for us and for our families?
Well, most people think that the sole decision is, should I get a will or should I get a trust, and what other documents that I need, which shows that we have a fundamental misunderstanding of the issue of documents versus outcomes, and we're focusing on the wrong place. We're focusing on the documents, which is really short-sighted. The problem is we're going to die someday, and we might become disabled, and so when you have back pain, you go into the doctor, you don't go in saying, you know, I want to have surgery, or saying, I want to decide whether I want to have surgery or something else. You say, hey, doctor, I'm in pain, I want to solve my pain, can you help me sort through my options and figure out the best path, you know, to have a pain-free life and have mobility and all of that. We focus on what we want, and then we sort through our options for how to get there. So instead of asking whether you need a will or a trust, it starts with where do you want to go, and so you can figure out what kind of estate plan will get you where you want to be. And I think that's a big difference as you interview attorneys to do your estate plan. Some attorneys focus on the documents, and that's great if all you're looking for is a document that says will or trust at the top. The clients that we're working with are trying to solve problems, and so the important thing is to figure out what are the problems that we're trying to solve.
And what's the right solution for them, right? So where can our listeners start with figuring out what's right for them?
Well, the first step is to figure out where you want to be. So like if you have back pain, I want to be pain-free, I want maximum mobility, and in the world of estate planning, we're solving problems that we wish we didn't have, right? I don't want to die. I don't want to become incapacitated. We can't solve that, unfortunately. So we have to go there. And if we don't go there, if we don't plan for these things, and it creates an unnecessary headache and heartache for our loved ones. So The question is, if you become incapacitated, meaning you have a stroke or a brain injury or dementia, whether it's temporary or whether it's permanent, how do you want that to go for your family? And when you die, which we know is going to happen to every one of us, and we want to think won't happen soon, what is it that you want to have happen and not happen? Do you want to make, most of our clients say we want to make things as easy as possible for our loved ones. There are a lot of things that go into really sorting through the different kinds of outcomes that you might want to have. The key is you have to plan before it happens. There's no such thing as too early, but there is such a thing as too late.
You mentioned, for instance, having to go to court to have your mom basically declared incompetent. I mean, was that too late? I mean, were you too late in the process there? Is that what you're trying to help listeners and clients avoid?
It was too late. We paid, back in the mid-1980s, we paid more than $3,000 to get conservatorship and guardianship over my mom. And then I was in this position where I had to go through a lot of court paperwork. I had to get permission on an annual basis for every single penny that came in and every penny that I spent, and how that was done created all kinds of hassle and headaches and expenses that are completely unnecessary if you plan ahead. So ideally, you want to plan ahead so that you can minimize the money that goes to the lawyers, the money that goes to the government, and the headache and heartache for your family so that they can focus on supporting you in the middle of a crisis versus having to go through the legal system. And that's one of the big questions is, do you want your loved ones to have to go through the legal system when your time comes?
Well, and people can learn so much just by participating in one of your webinars. I must say to our listeners, I participated in one. I learned so much. It really got me much more up to speed on what needed to happen with some loved ones and their situation. So why don't you tell us about some upcoming events that you have that are open to the public?
Yes, we have a webinar next Tuesday afternoon, October 3rd at 2 o'clock p.m. We have in-person workshops on Tuesday, October 10th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and on Saturday, October 14th at 10 o'clock a.m. All of those are open to the public. All of those are simply educational events to give you a starting place. The first step in figuring out what you need to do is identifying what outcomes you want and how the system works. And so we offer a lot of free education for the community on that.
All right. And if people would like to find out more information, where should they go, Catherine?
You can, if you'd like to come to a workshop or meet with one of our attorneys, you can go to coloradoestateplan.com or you can call our office at 719-520-1474. We would be happy to give you all the details for our events and get you registered.
All right. Well, we have much more to talk about with Catherine Hammond about estate planning and also just financial planning, planning ahead. Up next, we'll talk about planning for disability. People always think it's not going to happen to them, but you should be planning for it. That and more when The Extra continues. We're back with The Extra and our guest today, Catherine Hammond, founder and president of the Hammond Law Group. And you can find out more information about their services by going to coloradoestateplan.com. But Catherine, before the break, we were talking about planning for disability. What are some things that our listeners should take into consideration when planning for an event that really no one likes to think about? But this is something that unfortunately a lot of Americans deal with every year, finding themselves disabled.
Right. And it's always unexpected. My mother was in her late 40s when she first started to have the symptoms of dementia. And in 2015, my best friend in the whole world, who also happened to be an estate planning attorney, was diagnosed with a terminal leukemia that plucked her out of her life. They plucked her out of her life. She had to check into a hospital full-time, was flown down to MD Anderson with zero notice. And the difference between what happened to my mom, who had no preparation, and the what happened with my friend, who had a lot of preparation because she was an estate planning attorney, was really, really vast. The key is, in that situation, I mean, two issues. One is bills and financial management. And on the financial side of things, the key is giving somebody the authority to take care of your financial affairs. And you can do that either with a living trust or with a financial power of attorney. Those are the two different documents that might work in the event of incapacity. And so you have to make a decision there based on whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, and make some decisions around whether you want to be in the legal system versus whether you want somebody to just have the authority to go out and handle everything without being overseen by a judge.
So much to really think about and delve into there. And when getting authority, when someone's disabled, and I'm thinking about, we have some family friends whose son was in a motorcycle accident, unfortunately. Mm. And you talk about living trusts and powers of attorney. People can get very confused about these terms. Help us understand the difference between them.
Yeah. So a financial power of attorney is a document that says, I want the following person to be able to manage things, pay my bills, sell my house, take care of those things if I'm incapacitated. So it is a request to financial institutions for them to treat somebody else as the owner of your assets if something needs to be taken care of. A living trust, on the other hand, actually gives whoever is then serving as the trustee the legal authority as an owner. So the problem with financial powers of attorney is that in our greedy, litigious society, financial institutions are afraid of being sued over those, and so they're hesitant. They come up with reasons not to honor those, and most financial institutions will not honor your financial power of attorney for more than a year after you sign a living trust. Works forever. And so for anybody who's concerned about disability, typically what I end up recommending is a living trust instead of just relying on a power of attorney.
Okay. So that would be the downside. I was going to say, could you describe the pros and cons of each?
Yeah, the downside of a financial power of attorney is that it may not work when you need it. And if you need it more than a year after you signed it, it probably won't work when you need it. A living trust, the downside of a living trust is that it's more expensive on the front end to set it up, saves you lots of money in the long run, but you have to have money available to set it up in the first place, and you have to fund a living trust. You have to transfer your assets into it, hopefully with the help of your attorney.
Okay, and what about medical decisions? Who gets power to make those, and how does that, I mean, because, you know, for instance, that's something that they emphasized when our kids went off to college, is that, you know, you might want to have some sort of decision-making power put in place, because you never know if something's going to happen.
Right. Well, again, it comes back to authority. We want to give somebody the authority to make our healthcare decisions, and that happens under the healthcare power of attorney that names somebody to make those decisions on your behalf. It needs to be somebody that you trust to make decisions that honor your wishes, that they're not going to be scared to pull the plug if that's what you would want in a given situation. It means they need to be aware of whatever your decisions might be. And some of that comes also through an advanced directive or living will. That's a place where we get to expand on our different wishes. And then the third piece of that with healthcare decisions is giving your loved ones the authority to speak to your medical professionals. Under HIPAA, there is a bubble of privacy around each one of us as an individual. So your neighbor can't go to the hospital and say, hey, how is my neighbor Sally doing? I'm going to talk to the doctors about her. They won't even tell your neighbor whether or not you're at the hospital. But similarly, they may not tell your spouse. They likely won't tell your parent if you're an adult, and they won't tell your adult children often. Because it's a legal issue and they're, once again, afraid of being sued. So we can give somebody authority typically we want to give spouse, adult children, anybody else important in your life, the authority under a universal HIPAA release to get the medical information to find out, are you in the hospital, where are you, how are you, and go from there.
Is there anything else we need in case we become disabled?
You know, as far as disability goes, having a plan for who is going to do what is the most important thing, because disability is typically unexpected. And so people are left in a vacuum and nobody knows who's going to pay the bills, where you're going to go, all of that. We have an elder care coordinator on our team who has a social work background in the elder care community world to help guide people through all of those different decisions, because it can be overwhelming. It can create so much disharmony in the family. You have probably seen this somewhere in your world, Shannon. It happens all the time. And so keeping harmony and making sure that everybody knows what to do and focuses on the person who is at the center of the crisis, the person with the disability, that's key.
Okay, well, Catherine, we need to take a short break here. And in case you think this doesn't affect you, well, speaking of my experience going to the reunions of the high school and the college, but definitely the high school, you know, the first high school reunions, those are all talking about, you know, who's getting married and who's settling down. Second reunion you go to, maybe 10 years on, is talking about everybody's kids that everybody's having. But by the time you get to those later reunions, that's what everyone's talking about is, you know, how their parents are aging and are the plans in place and what has happened, because it is something that affects everyone, I think. And that's just when you're talking about parents, not, and then it becomes yourself that you need to be planning for. So all of that and more, you can find out information by going to ColoradoEstatePlan.com. Catherine Hammond is our guest today. When we come back, more from the founder and CEO of the Hammond Law Group. That's when the Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today our topic is estate planning, making sure that you have all the features in place that you need to make sure that your wishes are followed when you're disabled, when your life is gone, when you're perhaps past the point where you can make those important financial or medical decisions. And think of it as an insurance policy for making sure that things happen the way that you intend them to. And Catherine Hammond is our guest today. And Catherine, most of us think of estate planning as what we need for when we die, but how do we make sure that we have the right plan for when that happens?
Yes, that is the big question that people ask. And so it starts with, again, sorting through what's important to you. And one of the big questions that people come into our office with is, do I need to avoid probate? I've heard that Colorado probate is not terrible. I don't have $10 or $20 million. Do I need to worry about avoiding probate? And that is a really good question to be asking. In some other states, there is a statutory percentage of your estate that goes to your probate attorney. That's not the case in Colorado. In some other states, probate is still more intrusive and more complicated than it is in Colorado. Colorado has a much improved probate system, and I will say it is still not a party. Having helped hundreds of people go through the probate process professionally, it takes on average, if with a simple estate, it's 9 to 24 months. There is still hassle. It's still a public proceeding. We try to keep it as private as possible. And for a simple estate with no fighting, you can still expect to pay all in between the attorney and the court fees and the publication and bond fees and the personal representative, all of those things, at $7,500 to $20,000 on average. Mm. It is an invitation to your family to fight, because there's an open court case, and so anybody who doesn't like it can just file a document that says, I don't think this is what's supposed to be happening. So most people want things to be as easy as possible for their loved ones. If that's the case for you, then probably probate is not the way to get you there. And yeah. So making that decision about whether you want to go through probate or not, if you're a homeowner, determines whether you do a will or whether you use a trust as the foundation of your plan.
Yeah. Do you know who I just heard died without a will or any estate plan in place? Pierre Cardin.
Oh, who's that?
The Italian designer, Italian-French designer, apparently has assets that are in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, no will, no estate plan. Did not want to think about what would happen after he died because he never thought or wanted himself to die. But it happens to all of us, right? It happens to all of us.
If only it works that way, right? If only not thinking about it would prevent it from happening.
I know.
That would be great.
Yeah. What else should we consider?
So in addition to figuring out whether you want to go through probate or not go through probate, one of the things to figure out is it appropriate to make outright gifts to your loved ones, to just give them a check without having an ongoing management system for their inheritance? The questions that come up related to that are they ready to be managing that kind of money? Maybe they've had a little bit of money, maybe they haven't had a lot, maybe this is going to be a bigger check than they've ever received. Will they have any regrets 5 years later? Is it possible that they would get divorced? And if they do you care if their future ex-spouse walks off with half of it?
Right.
Do you have any special needs beneficiaries who are on government programs that are needs-based, and receiving an inheritance would disqualify them for all of those government benefits? And do you have a way to pass on opportunity instead of just assets and really pass on your values? Those are some considerations with making outright gifts versus having money managed over time.
Interesting. All those things that you mentioned, didn't even think about it, but those are really good aspects to consider when making these estate planning decisions. And then we've talked about this before. Unfortunately, strife can just come out of nowhere. Even families that think they're close-knit, someone has done something that the others don't approve of or don't see their thinking on. How can we avoid family fighting in making these estate plans?
Oh, this is a big one because most people don't expect it. Some people know that their families have issues, but most people don't expect it. And then things come bubbling out from underneath the surface. And so one way to handle that is to keep it out of court. Court, as I mentioned, is an invitation to argue about things. Things always go more smoothly when we don't have to go through a legal process and we don't have, lawyers involved who are duking it out in court. Having conversations ahead of time with your loved ones about why you're doing things the way that you're doing them, as much as possible, preparing them for how you have set things up so that there aren't many surprises.
And it's not just financial. Sometimes it's just in planning services. I mean, that can be an issue of strife. And again, some people don't like thinking about that, so they don't put their wishes down. But then you have family members who are disagreeing over what type of service. Do they want a service? What sort of consideration should be taken? All of that, right?
Right, and you just gave the perfect example with Pierre Cardin, who thought that maybe if he didn't think about estate planning and didn't talk about it and didn't think about dying, then maybe it wouldn't happen. Now he has passed away, and it leaves a huge mess for his family. So don't do that. Talking about it and thinking about it, the only thing that changes is it makes your family better prepared for when you go.
Yeah. Because if you don't think about it, you're just playing kick the can. You're kicking it down the road, and it's left to your heirs or family members or people, survivors who are left behind to deal with.
And it's going to, like with kick the can, it's going to be rougher and rougher the farther down the road it goes.
right. Okay, so let's talk about ways people can get some free education on this. And I love this, and I participated in it. It definitely was nobody's going to feel pressured to do anything. It was very low pressure, high information content, and no pressure at all brought to bear. So these are the webinars and in-person workshops that you conduct through your firm. So Catherine, tell us about those.
Absolutely. And that is the goal. We are here to help you. This is step one in figuring out how to proceed and take care of your family. So we have a webinar next Tuesday afternoon, October 3rd at 2 o'clock p.m. We have in-person workshops the following week on Tuesday the 10th and Saturday the 14th. You can go to coloradoestateplan.com to get all the details and register, or you can call our office at 719-520-1474, and we will make that happen for you.
Fantastic. I want to point out, like, before I participated in one of these webinars, and it was a webinar because it was during COVID, because there were not the in-person workshops during that time, during the pandemic, when we were all self-isolating. But I learned so much, and I learned that there is a difference between a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney. And I didn't know prior to that there was a difference, so that I go to my loved ones who I was helping with their stuff, and I was trying to determine. And they too, even though it turned out they did have those documents, but they didn't know the difference. So they were elderly, didn't know they had that there are two separate things. And it was really hard to pin down, exactly what we had in place. But at least I was armed with the knowledge from one of these webinars to be able to have that conversation. So I really just think, what you're providing as far as this education is very valuable. Catherine Hammond is our guest today. When we come back, we'll talk more with Catherine about this. A lot of considerations that we're dealing with. When we come back, The Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra, our final segment, as we've been chatting with Catherine Hammond, who's a lawyer. She's the founder and CEO of Colorado's premier estate planning group. I think I could say that, Hammond Law Group. She's the founder and president of it. And you can also go to their website, coloradoestateplan.com, to get more information. But Catherine, through this hour, we've talked a lot about the considerations people need to take when estate planning. Let's bring it all together. How do our listeners know if the estate plans they've done are the right ones, and if they'll do what they really need them to do?
Yeah, the question is, will your plan meet your goals if you become incapacitated and when you die? And so a starting place is to ask your attorney. And so you want to work with an attorney and work with an attorney who has enough experience to really know what can go wrong. Ask your attorney, once they've made recommendations to you, how will your recommendations help me meet my goals? That's the question. If they can't answer that, then they're not taking your goals into consideration, and you need to start over. It has to be about your goals.
I know there are different recommendations for different situations, but do you have a set of recommendations that are the most common for our average listeners, say?
Most of our clients are homeowners who have somewhere between, let's say, $750,000 to $10 million. For most people in that category, most of our clients are looking to make things as easy as possible for their loved ones. So the most common recommendations that we make are a revocable living trust, which avoids probate if you're incapacitated and when you die, versus a will, which guarantees probate as the foundation of their estate plan. So living trust as a foundation, you still need a will if you do a living trust. It's a just-in-case backup document, a financial power of attorney to help somebody manage your financial affairs for assets that are not owned by the trust, a healthcare power of attorney giving somebody authority to make your medical decisions, a living will saying what you want, and then that universal HIPAA release that says, the following people can talk to my doctors and find out my medical information.
And what about age timelines? When are there certain times of life or, I know a lot of people think about it when they first start having kids, or what would you suggest?
Oh my gosh, such a great question. We need legal documents as soon as we turn age 18. And so your 18-year-old adult child needs to have a financial power of attorney and medical directives and a HIPAA release just so you can find out if they're in an accident and land in the hospital. I have lots of parents who've told me stories about child got in an accident and they couldn't even get information from the hospital. So once you turn 18, obviously, once you have children, there are different considerations, and it becomes really important to make sure that your children are taken care of if, God forbid, something happens to you. And the most important thing is to do it before you need it. So before you become incapacitated and before you die, because we don't know when those things might happen. Obviously, the older we get, the more likely it is to happen. But things happen to young people tragically all the time. So do it now while you can.
What else do our listeners need to know?
You know, the other thing that I will say is that those documents that I mentioned, that list of recommended documents, you have to understand that those documents can be drafted in a variety of different ways. You can give your money to your beneficiaries outright, or you can have it managed, and you need to have a good conversation with an experienced attorney about what's best for you. Do you want to protect your beneficiaries if they get divorced? Do you want to have an adult child wrap things up, or do you want to have a professional do that so that it preserves your family dynamics and harmony? Your documents all have to be tailored to your specific assets, situation, and goals. And so work with an attorney who can help you navigate all of those things to accomplish your goals and avoid the pitfalls that we see oftentimes with people who actually have an estate planning attorney and it was drafted by an attorney. Who have an estate plan and it was drafted by an attorney.
Okay. Well, we would like to suggest, if you are curious about this process or want to find out more about some of the aspects that Catherine has mentioned throughout this, and don't forget they have this concierge service, which also helps with a lot of the other issues that might crop up when it comes to aging, whether it's, finding the right situation, living situation for a loved one or for yourself. I mean, all sorts of aspects that go into it. You can find out more by participating in one of their webinars, and there's another one that's planned for October 3rd at 2 p.m. They also have some in-person workshops coming up October 10th at 2 and 6, and Saturday, October 14th at 10 a.m. And to find out more, to register, to set up maybe another meeting, 719-520-1474 is the number to give a call to, or you can also visit their website at coloradoestateplan.com to register for any of those events that I told you about, or also to get details. And Catherine, we have about 30 seconds to go. What would you like people to know most as we are closing out this conversation?
The thing that surprises people the most when they come in and they meet with me or another attorney on my team, and they decide to move forward with their estate plan. A lot of people are not excited to come, think about their mortality, but universally, people, even before they have their estate planning documents in place, once they've made the decision and they've gotten the ball rolling, the sense of relief that they experience, like their shoulders drop and their chest come out, and they feel a sense of peace of mind because this nagging thing that they've known that they need to take care of is finally going to be resolved.
And that can bring just so much ease of mind and peace of mind as you are just getting ready to enjoy maybe the sunset years or what have you. Well, Catherine Hammond, always a pleasure to have you on. And again, Catherine is the president and founder of Hammond Law Group. You can find out more by going to coloradoestateplan.com. It's been a good hour of conversation talking about estate planning. Catherine, thank you for joining us here on The Extra.
Thank you so much, Shannon.
And to our listeners, thank you for continuing to listen and learn more about this important topic. And tomorrow, more of The Extra, starting at 9 a.m. after the top of the hour. Tom Martino, you're listening to KRDO News Radio.